know, Bernie, we don't want to talk about when we consider ourselves old, but yet here we are. Mike Wimacher with you on WMAY. 217-629-7970 is the number to join in the conversation. So researchers have been kind of following this particular subject for years now, and they have kind of seen a change with each subsequent generation of at what age do you consider yourself or the generation to be old? And 217-629-7970 is a phone number. What age would you say that, and I like I said, I know we don't like to label, and you're always just as old, you're as young as you feel, right? Age is, to me, is always just a number, right? There is someone who could be, in your eyes, quote unquote, old in their 80s, who is decidedly more active than someone maybe in their early 60s. But this is kind of taking the median age of when individuals say, okay, you are now no longer middle-aged or a young person, you have moved into the older phase of life, at 217-629-7970. Researchers say life expectancy has increased, which might contribute to a later perceived onset of old age. And that's what they're kind of trying to get to at the heart of this particular research is, when do you perceive old age to begin? At 217-629-7970. They say also some aspects of health have improved over time, so that people of a certain age who were regarded as old in the past may no longer be considered old nowadays. It used to be, right, you hit 65, and people are like, now you're kind of, now you've gotten into old territory. You're 65. I think that's become passe. I don't know anyone out there, and 217-629-7970 is a phone number. You may disagree, and you may say earlier, but I don't know a lot of people nowadays, whether they be my age or younger, that consider 65 to be old anymore. Hi, you're on WMAY.
I'm in my mid-50s, and I don't consider myself old, but both of my parents are still living. They're in their mid-80s, and they're still very active. I mean, my mom just got back from Lake Tahoe yesterday.
Oh, wow. Good on her.
Yeah. My dad, you know, he fishes, he gardens, he golfs, so I think my perspective has always been skewed. So to me, old is like when you're in your 80s, but it still means you're an active person.
Right. Yeah. Just because you're old, I don't think it means you're inactive. I think that sometimes we unfairly associate with old, you just sit there and you're just rocking in your rocking chair, but that's not the case anymore.
No. I agree. I think people are more active later in life.
Yes. And part of that, we can, part of that may be pickleball as well. As much as I hate to admit it, pickleball has gotten a lot of people up and moving. So, yes. So appreciate the phone call. Yeah. I think we all would kind of agree that when you say the word, you know, in their 80s, I think we all can agree that is an older individual. That is old. But I do feel, to the caller's point, just because we consider it old, I don't think that means that they're not active anymore. I think we unfairly, when you say the word old, and I think that's part of what these researchers are seeing is in the kind of change and the shift of the number of also just because you are quote unquote considered old at that time, or that's the age which we think old age begins, doesn't mean living your life stops. My grandmother lived to be, I think, around 90. But the same thing as the previous caller, she was still out there doing things and being involved in the community and just never really kind of stopped. And I think that's an important part of things, of just because you can be considered old doesn't mean you're still not out there being active and moving around. So what they found in 217-629-7970 is a phone number. We are discussing this research that they've, you know, asked different generations of at what age do you consider old age to be setting in? And I would say, you know, it used to be when I was younger, 65. But as life expectancy has increased over time, I don't know anyone who sees, who someone says they're 65, unless they're like, you know, 18. An 18-year-old may consider 65 old nowadays. But I don't even know if that's the case anymore. So what they did, how the study found evidence that the trend of later perceived old age has slowed in the past two decades. Compared with the earliest born participants in this research over years, later born participants reported a later perceived onset of old age, which makes sense because if you're born later, you've seen more advances in medicine. You kind of learn more about the importance of nutrition. And whether you abide by those guidelines or not, at least that information is out there for you. So here's kind of an example for this research, all right? They said when participants born in 1911 were 65 years old, they set the beginning of old age at 71. So when they got to 65, they're born in 1911, they got to 65, and they said, hey, do you feel old, or when do you feel old age is going to set in? And those that are 65 at that time said, you know, 71. Not 70, 71. In contrast, participants born in 1956 said old age begins at 74 on average when they were 65. And part of it is, as you get closer to that number, you want to push that number farther out, because that's the other part of the equation. You don't want to be ever considered old, but unfortunately, when you get to a certain age, that you just are. The years, but once again, that doesn't mean that you're just sitting on a rocking chair. The researchers also found that the trend toward a later perceived onset of old age has slowed in recent years. As individuals age, their perception of the onset of old age was pushed further out. At age 64, the average participant said old age started at 74.7, but at age 74, they said 76.8. On average, the perceived onset of old age increased by about 1 year for every 4 to 5 years of actual aging. So interesting research there. And it's funny, as you get closer to the milestone that you may have said is old, you tend to push it back a little bit. For me, I don't know. As far as putting a number on when that may start, we had the caller in the 6 o'clock hour who kind of jumped the gun on this subject. He said he would consider 55 to start being old because in his mind, old means you have more years behind you than you do in front of you. And so that's how he kind of defines old, which is an interesting take on things. For me, I think, you know, like I said, it used to be 65. I think now probably has been moved to around 75. We see people are more active for longer periods of time. And due to the science that we do have and the medical technology, you can continue on being very active for a longer period of time. So if you were to ask me the age in which I consider individuals start being quote unquote old, I would say 75 is where I would put it. I think that is kind of where a majority of us say, okay, those people are getting older at that time. But I think 65 is passe. I don't know anyone out there anymore who, when it gets to age 65 or sees someone that says that person's old anymore. I don't think that is the norm as much. And the evidence from this research backs that up. It seems more around 74 is kind of the average where people say, okay, that individual is now entered into quote unquote old age. Appreciate the phone call. It is Mike Wimacher with you here on WMAY. We will take a break for news. And when we come back, we'll go from old back to childhood, back to being young. And what it was like for you growing up when it came to dinner time. Because according to a recent survey, in my opinion, a very high percentage of parents are more than willing to give special dispensation to a certain child within the family when it comes to dinner time. We'll discuss and ask you what it was like in your family growing up around dinner time. That's still to come on WMAY.
Because he's become such a tubby wubby all in his belly welly and his rear.
It is Mike Wimacher with you here on WMAY on this Tuesday, April 23rd, second hour of the program. Always appreciative of you giving us a little time. Know how valuable your time is. A lot going on for you in the morning. So thanks for stopping by. See what's going on in this oasis in the desert of politics. 217-629-7970 is the phone number to join the conversation. What is dinner time like in your home? I ask because there is a recent survey that was done that talks about family dinner time. And I was astounded at the number of those who responded that the willingness for the parent to customize a meal for a picky child. Because in my home, and maybe your mileage varies, 217-629-7970 is a phone number. I remember growing up in my house, if a meal was being cooked, now it was different when you would go out or a fast food or whatever, you were able to choose what you wanted within reason. Like I couldn't be 8 years old, like, I want the Big Mac meal. That wasn't going to fly. You know, 8 years old, Happy Meal. But it was, do you want a hamburger, cheeseburger, do you want nuggets? There was that choice. But not when it came to the actual making of dinner. I was basically in the situation, and maybe it's just a generational thing. Obviously it is, because of the response to this particular survey. But it was, this is what's being made. Mom had a long day at work. Mom is coming home to cook. Dad will be home at 6. And, you know, from time to time, it'd be a little bit different, depending on the shift that Dad was working at the police station. But dinner's going to be at this time, and this is what for dinner. And either you ate it, or you went hungry. There was no in-between. But according to this research, 3 in 5 parents are willing and do customize meals if their child doesn't like what everyone else is eating. And so 217-629-7970 is the phone number. Is that the way it rolls in your home currently? Or were you more like my parents? Or are you more like my parents in this is what's being made? You either you eat this or you figure it out on your own. 217-629-7970. Hi, you're on WMAY.
When I was a kid, we didn't have the money to have separate menus.
Yeah, that's true.
The meal, that's what you ate. And if you were hungry when you got up, that was your own fault.
Yep.
So, and even with my own kids, you know, I never, it's like, this is what we're having for dinner. You eat what's on the table.
Yeah.
So
I thought it was 60% of parents willing to be like, okay, well, the rest of us are having this, but we're going to customize. I found that number astronomical.
I do, too. And here, I'm going to sound like a crabby old person. Get off my lawn. That's what's wrong with society. Kids are catered to too much.
Yelling at old person yells at sky. I love it. I appreciate the phone call. Yeah, you make a great point. I didn't even think about that of at the time, right? I was a picky eater growing up. I will fully admit it. And I would grumble and I would be upset. But you bring up a fantastic point that when you're a child, you don't have the concept. And when you get a little bit older, maybe your teenage years, or you get your first job, you then start to realize more money and how far it goes or doesn't go. But as a kid, you don't have the concept of, you know, how much per meal is being spent and what grocery shopping is. Like, you go with mom to grocery shop, but it's all just numbers, right? You just know that you're upset that you're not getting the cereal you want because it's not on sale. And so you don't have that concept. And you're like, well, I want this. Well, great. You may want that. But guess what? This is what we're having. And this is what's in the budget. And you eat it or you don't. But 60% of respondents say they're making special accommodations if there is a kid who's just like, nope, not going to do that. And I get it's difficult, right? When you have a super picky kid like I was. But sometimes you just, if you continue to make other things for them, they're never actually going to try something new. Hi, you're on WMAY.
I think it also depends on which parent's cooking.
Okay.
Because the one I'm with, she cannot cook anything pork without making it dry, same as chicken.
Okay.
She's under that fear that it's going to be raw.
Okay. I'll give you that. Yeah, that there are some things that if you hear it and you know that they're not as skilled on it, you go, oh, no, not this again.
So I think that depends on some of it.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I appreciate the phone call. You're right. The skill of the individual preparing the meal, I will say, has something to do with it. You're not wrong there. I will give you that. Like if it's constantly dry or kids just, because that was the thing with me with meatloaf. Now you can cover meatloaf. God, I feel bad. God rest my mom's soul. She, busted her butt, came home, still made the meal, everything else. It was varying results. But the meatloaf is always kind of dry. Now dad would drown it in ketchup. That wasn't my jam. And so when I heard we're having meatloaf, that was immediately why I go, but I knew no matter how much I complained, it wasn't going to get any better for me. Like that was it. Either I ate that or figured out on my own. If I wanted to make a peanut butter sandwich, there was that option, but it wasn't the parent making the food for me. They weren't customizing the meal like the 60% of parents do in this particular survey. They said 1 in 8 parents require children to eat everything on their plate. My mom kind of did the same thing, right? If you wanted, because we were afforded, and I know how fortunate I was in this particular situation. We were afforded, not after dinner, a couple hours later, we were afforded a snack, whether it be some chips and a thing of pop. But that was only if you finished all the milk at dinner and you finished the plate as well. Hi, you're on WMAY.
I had a buddy whose son, I wanted to kick this little kid's butt so many times when he spent the night with my son.
Okay.
He was the pickiest little kid. If you ordered pizza, it has to be in squares. If it's in a triangle, he will not eat it.
What?
I am dead serious.
Oh, my goodness.
And now, this kid's 23 years old now. This is back when he was 10 and 12 years old. And then his pancakes, his dad or mom would have to cut his pancake like a square.
Oh, my gosh.
And then cut it up in 1-inch squares. And the syrup cannot be on the plate. It has to be in a bowl or a cup or something. And he dips it in there.
Oh, my goodness.
I wanted to wring this little kid's neck so many times. I'm like, eat the pizza, dude. It's triangle. It's the same. Here, I'll cut a square there. And if you cut the triangle into a square, he'd eat it.
Well, at least there was that. But you didn't want to go through those extra steps. You're like, you're actually being disrespectful to the person who cut the pizza in the first place.
Exactly. Exactly. Wow. That, his mom and dad would only order pizza
from places
when they were eating that cut squares. Yep.
Wow. appreciate the phone call. And yeah, it's odd what kids fixate on. And kudos to you, by the way, sir, and your patience. I know you wanted to be upset, but kudos to you when he came over to spend the night. You understood, well, this is how this is going to roll. Going to have to do it that way. And that's a little bit different. He's still eating what everyone else is. He's adding extra layers to it. But it'd be interesting if, like, they order pizza, and he's like, nah, I don't want pizza. I need Subway. And they go out and get Subway or whatever it may be. Or we're making homemade pizza. I don't like that. I want this instead. For me, it was you get what you get, and you roll with it. Did I enjoy, meatballs and mushroom gravy growing up? No. No, I did not at all. But guess what? A lot of times I ate because that was on the menu, meatballs and mushroom gravy. That was just the way it is. And I was astounded that 60% of parents are willing to customize the meal if the child doesn't like what everyone else is eating. The researchers also talked about that they point out that children learn through watching and imitating. So it's beneficial for parents to model healthy eating through a well-balanced diet while their child's eating habits and taste preference mature. They say avoiding snacks between meals may also help children have a better appetite and increase their willingness to eat the food that is offered to them. Like I said, I was fortunate enough, my sister and I, that at night we would get a snack, like a little mini bag of chips and a soda. It was always just a Jewel brand because it was cheap, but we didn't care. But that was only if we finished and cleaned our plate, regardless of what was on the menu. It was a struggle when it was meatballs and mushroom gravy. I'm not going to lie to you. And then whatever vegetable we had on the side. It was difficult, but my kudos to my mom dangling that carrot of, you eat this, you get the thing you really like later on. Whether it be some pretzels or Doritos or whatever it may be. Appreciate the phone calls. It is Mike Wimacher with you here on WMAY.
Oh, you had? I just had one.
Uh-oh.
Oh, dude, that was live radio, baby.
That was. Wow.
What? Yeah, when you become an adult, you tend to cramp up a little bit more often. Oh, Rick Perry there. It is Mike Wimacher with you here on WMAY. Maybe one of these days I'll play the full interview of where that happened. When he was on with Michael Moles, it was during his time of Dancing with the Stars. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, just cramped up there. Speaking of Michael Moles, Too Good for Radio podcast. Find it wherever you find your podcasts. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. New episodes every Friday. Appreciate you helping out and listening to that podcast. Just a half hour nonsense, a way to get away from things and have a bit of laughter. So appreciate it. Make sure you like Michael Moles on Facebook. On the topic of podcasts, we podcast various segments of this show. All interviews on this show are podcasts. Just search The Mike Wimacher Show wherever you find your podcasts. Or you can go to WMAY.com, click on the podcast section, and then you'll find The Mike Wimacher Show. Click there, and all the podcasts are there for you to enjoy. You can also like The Mike Wimacher Show on Facebook. We post the links to the podcasts there as well. As you get older, you know, you cramp up, other things happen. Which is why Reddit asked the question of what is the hardest thing about adulting at 217-629-7970. It's so weird that when you're a kid, not weird, it's just when you're a kid, you want to become an adult. You're like, I can't wait for the day. And then when you're an adult, you go look back and go, oh man, I had it. So I wish I could go back being a kid when I'd had less responsibilities. It's that vicious cycle. You're always kind of a dog chasing its tail around. You're like, I wish I could go back. Oh, I wish I could get older. So what are, as you've gotten older, as you entered into adulthood, what are some of the hardest things about adulting at 217-629-7970? And I get it. Some of you may be like, ugh, I hate the term adulting. I get that too. But that's just how it was phrased when it comes to Reddit. Here are some of the responses from online. Like I said, want to hear from you as well at 217-629-7970. Someone said the hardest thing about being an adult, we'll put it that way instead of adulting, they say making friends or getting into a relationship, both are not as easy as they used to be. I can see that. I'm more an individual who is, you know, pretty open, willing to engage, willing to talk. So it hasn't been as difficult for me, but it is interesting. Recently, I went to opening day at the White Sox game. A buddy of mine had been asking for years to do it, finally took advantage of it, went there. They had a nice suite there, good experience. And it was interesting that there was one group of parents brought their kid who hadn't met any of the other kids. There's a group of about, I would say, five or six kids were in the suite. And this kid knew no one. And it was amazing how quickly they were all best friends. When it comes to being an adult, that can happen, but it doesn't happen as quickly as when we're younger. I would give the individual from Reddit who said that's the toughest thing about adulting credit in that particular aspect of it takes a little bit more effort to find friendships and relationships as you get older. Someone said the toughest thing about being an adult, according to Reddit, the hardest thing is understanding that as time goes, you have more and more responsibilities, and there's no way back. So enjoy every moment and don't look back. Interesting. I will say they're not wrong. Not having kids, there's less responsibility in that aspect of my adult life. But there's still always something to be done. I know as a kid, you always complain about, homework and gross and everything. Don't you just sometimes now yearn for the days we just go back to homework instead of all the other things you have to worry about as an adult? 217-629-7970 answered the question from Reddit. What's the hardest thing about being an adult? This one is how it doesn't stop. It just keeps going and going and going. Like if the Energizer Bunny's job was crushing souls, not making batteries. I don't want to say being an adult is soul crushing, but there is, as you know, the previous response from Reddit was, there is a constant battle going on when you become an adult. There's so many different responsibilities, not only at your job, where more than likely things have been downsized and you're having to do more and more things, more and more hats are being put upon you. So you have to go through that. And then when you get home, especially if you have kids, it's taking care of the kids, but there's also, you know, just the general upkeep of owning a home, making sure that's taken care of. Let's not forget also, yeah, you have an automobile that has to get you from home to that job, making sure that's, oh, and also let's throw in bills and tech. So it is, it's an ongoing struggle. I love that. Is that's a heck of a line there of as if the Energizer Bunny's job was crushing souls, not making batteries. Hi, you're on WMAY.
So if it was, I mean, adulthood is actually just a trap.
Okay.
To be quite honest.
Okay, lay it on me, EJ.
If it wasn't for the sex, we would all be kids still.
Yeah, you may be onto something there. Care to expand a little bit more?
Well, absolutely. So if it wasn't for that, you know, we're a teenager, you know, you're getting to be 16 and everything like that. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I got to have this, you know, one thing that everybody's kind of talking about and all this other stuff. And then it happens and then you slip up and, oh, nope, she's prego.
Yeah.
And that now it's a vicious cycle because, okay. I mean, because then you have to grow up. You have to. You know, you have to become an adult, pay your way, provide for your kids, your, you know, wife or whatever, baby mama, I don't care, but you got to find some way to actually provide for them and raise them and everything like that. Granted, we're the only species that actually pay to live on this planet.
Yeah, there is that.
And so it's just a never-ending cycle and a complete trap. Adulthood is completely that. Because if we didn't have that, we would all be carefree in my mind.
Yeah.
If there really wasn't that end goal for men to get laid, I'm pretty sure we would be better off.
All right, maybe Peter Pan was onto something with just surrounding himself with the Lost Boys. Maybe there is that.
Third star on the right and straight on till morning, buddy.
Exactly. Appreciate the phone call. Irvy Jr. chiming in there. Hi, you're on WMAY.
I don't remember if it was Garrison Keillor, but I remember this line, and it meant a lot to me when I heard it. It was, when you're a child, there's always someone else looking out for your happiness.
That's true.
But you know what? That's the thing about becoming adult. There is now no one else but you looking out for your happiness.
Yeah, that is a great line. You're right, and it's incumbent upon you now to find that happiness, whereas it was someone else kind of guiding that ship earlier on.
Yeah, you didn't have to worry about where you were sleeping because your mom and dad took care of it for you. You didn't worry about what you were eating because mom and dad took care of that for you.
Yep.
You know, they took care of you, and they were trying to make sure that you were happy, well-fed, taken care of.
Yes.
And now you got to do it.
And it's not as easy as they made it out to be, is it?
No, but it was. When I first heard that, I went, wow, that is just like so simplified, but absolutely 100% accurate.
Yep.
When you're a child, someone else is always looking out for your happiness.
Yep. I appreciate the phone call and a great perspective there. And thanks for sharing that quote, because it's dead on, right? And that's a lot of what we're seeing here of the toughest part about being an adult are things that your parents took care of because they were an adult. It is. It's you didn't have to worry about where to live, how to pay for the food, what you're going to do, you know, going to the movie, whatever it may be, because your parents did that. They would include you into that. And it was very simple for you. But that's one of the things you realize when you get to adulthood was, damn, how the hell did they make that look so easy? Because now we know that it isn't. As you continue to, you go, they made it look seamless. But now it's on you to figure out, what to eat. That's what someone said is one of the toughest parts about being an adult is having to figure out what to make for dinner every night. But yet they were able to do that. They say watching the adults in your life age and pass on, leaving you as the adult. That's even more dark than the soul-crushing Energizer Bunny quote. And the other one, kind of echoing what other people had said in this particular Reddit response about the toughest part of being an adult, is there's always something. Some random payment out of nowhere because another thing broke, an issue at work, maybe a funeral to attend. There's always something else. And I think that is also part of it. When you're a child, when you're a kid, yes, there is school and maybe there is, you know, your extracurricular activity and homework. But then that's about it. Once those obligations are fulfilled, it is whatever it was that you did to enjoy yourself. And you do need to find the time. And I think that's part of the situation when becoming an adult. There's less time in the day for us to find just a little slice of something that brings us maybe back to our childhood or just that little slice of happiness because there are so many responsibilities. And so it's key to try to find that moment, as difficult as it may be, to find that moment of just taking some time for you and doing what it is that makes you happy. It's tough, especially when you have kids as well, because that adds an extra layer. But there is something to that of just the simplicity of just going back or just even taking a moment to just, whether it be a snack, right, that you had when you were a kid, buy yourself some Dunkaroos today and just find a moment to enjoy that. Or go on YouTube and look up a clip of whatever it is that you, whatever cartoon it was you grew up watching. And when the kids are in bed or whatever it may be or whatnot, when you find that moment, click on that, eat that Dunkaroo, and just take yourself back for a moment. I'm not saying it's a panacea cure-all, but it'll make you feel good just for if just a moment. Appreciate the phone calls. It is Mike Wittmacher with you here on WMAY.